Okay, that's all of this evening's business. Now we'll move on. We got one case under old business, and it's 12,092.
Our final case under old business is 12,092, Marvin Weaver seeking variances from the side and rear yard setbacks under Section 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north side of Marina Drive, approximately 450 feet west of the intersection of Woodland Circle and Marina Drive West. The 911 address is 23406 Marina Drive West, Lewis. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 234, map 17.08, parcel 127. This case was previously left open, and it's my understanding that the applicant has made some changes to their plans.
Okay.
You may remember, board members, this was one that we heard in February, and then the applicant asked for some additional time, and I see he's got Mr. Hutt here. Ms. McGee has left the chamber. She's recusing herself from this application, so we just have three of you this evening. So just make those statements, and I see Mr. Hutt is at the podium. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record? And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening, John.
Good evening, members of the board. As I think everybody knows, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris, James, Wilson, Harbrook, and Byard. A moment ago, I handed exhibit notebooks to Ms. Walls to become a part of the record and help clarify tonight's application. And it looks like, or maybe not, have they made it all the way down to the end yet?
I'm sorry.
No? Is that it?
Need another one?
Okay. If you got an extra one, I'll give it to Ms. Heathers if she can participate.
We've got plenty.
Sorry about that. One for one. Okay.
All right. This evening I am representing Marvin and Miriam Weaver, who are the owners of 23406 Marina West Drive, which is in the Angola by the Bay community and is the property that is the subject of tonight's application. As you can tell, because the only other person other than board members and staff sitting behind me is Mr. Yoder, the Weavers were unable to make it this evening. And Mr. Yoder, who is the president of Yoder & Sons Construction, will be representing them. And he would actually, if the board approves the application, be the contractor undertaking the work to renovate the home as is proposed tonight. As Mr. Sharp mentioned a moment ago, the board initially considered this application on Monday, February 5th. When the application was filed, it was filed for a side yard variance of approximately 1 foot. And I know, having listened to the discussion that evening, that the board knows that that was to enable the garage to be 1 foot wider at the front of the property along the roadside to allow for storage of two boats. At the February 5th hearing, Mr. Yoder learned that the planning and zoning staff had identified additional variances along the rear yard setback that were also necessary in order to accomplish the renovation that was being proposed. Mr. Yoder asked for additional time to address these matters and to discuss the 1 foot variance further with the property owners. The board granted that request, and the matter was then subsequently scheduled for March 5th. As was noted by Mr. Sharp again a few moments ago, in the interim, the Weavers retained my office, and after meeting with them and reviewing the application with them and with Mr. Yoder, additional time was requested to review and revise the application, as well as it was discovered that the Homeowners Association at Angola by the Beach had not been contacted about this, and that Homeowners Association actually has the exact same setbacks as the county, so the Homeowners Association would also need to provide its own separate set of variances separate from the county's process in order for the construction to occur. I'm happy to report this evening that the additional time that the board granted to the Weavers after the March 5th hearing was put to good use in two particular manners. First, the Property Owners Association did grant approval for the variances that were requested, and we will get to that in a few moments. The second good use that was made of this additional time is that the Weavers were able to, after listening to the discussion of the board, able to reconfigure and get the garage so that there is not a variance needed for the side yard setback in that upper front corner of the property. This evening, I'm going to very briefly review the application. I know the board has been here for a while, and this application has been on the agenda before. In order to do that, I put together an exhibit notebook, and while there are seven exhibits, most of what is in there is not new to you. It's just there for your ready reference. For example, tab one is just a copy of the application for your ease of reference, and that is a copy that includes the staff notes and comments, which means the rear yard setback, which was added by the staff after the application was filed. The second tab is a copy of the continuance request from March 5th, at which time the board did grant the Weavers additional time to review their application and obtain property owner association approval. Tab three is the deed for the property, which, as you can see, if you look at tab three, you can see that the Weavers acquired the property on May 26th of 2017. So almost a year ago, it will be a year and a month and about 10 days. As you likely recall, and as I mentioned a moment ago, the Weavers property is located on West Marina Drive in the Angola by the Bay community. On the screens around you, you see the tax map showing the property, and I have these tax maps also included as tab four in your exhibit notebook. The first page of tab four is just simply the tax map showing out, obviously, all the various parcels as they appear in the Angola by the Bay community. The second page of tab four is essentially what you see on the screens around you, but with a little more perspective, a little higher up, from maybe more of the bird's eye view of it. And that's significant because as you look behind the Weaver's property, you'll see that there is a little more than 6 acres, actually it's 6.26 is what the tax map says, acres of community property for the Angola by the Bay property. I think the aerial imagery says it all because, as you can see, that's a thickly wooded portion of the common property that the rear yard setback variance that we're talking about tonight would be backing up to. The last two tax maps that are within tab four are directly off of the county's website. A couple of years ago, the county started providing information for all zoning applications, whether they're a variance, special use exception, conditional use, change of zone, on a tax map so that property owners interested in things could go online and see where these applications are actually occurring and taking place. What you see here is a tax map with only the variance applications that have been filed, and the county's website showing those things goes back currently to the year 2011. So between 2011 and tonight's hearing, there have been, if you were to count up all of the symbols with the V in it, which stands for variance, and the different colors are the different years. If you were to count all of those up, there's approximately 50 of those in a couple locations there. There's actually two side by side. Right in about the middle of the picture, you'll see a V with a circle and yellow around it. There's a blow up on the last page of tab four of that. And you can see that right next door to the Weaver's property is another variance, and that was granted in 2013. Those were small side yard and front yard setbacks. I believe they were each less than a foot. But as you can see, there is, because of the nature of this community, it was created many years before the current zoning code was in existence. Angola by the Bay has an extensive history with variance applications. At the moment, I'm going to skip tab five and move to tab six. These were mentioned during the last hearing, but what these are is this is what's known as the Yo property card, Yo being the company that performed the analysis and the tax parcel numbering for Sussex County. And when you look at the Yo property card on the right-hand side, about the middle of the page, if you turn it clockwise so it's readable, you see the building permit record over there. And that's how, on these cards, nowadays we would do it by computer, but that's how the cards tracked what building permits and construction occurred on the site When you look at those dates, you can see that it appears that the home was probably constructed in 1979 when the first building permit for this property was issued. And then there in 1985, there was an addition to the home, and we know that it's an addition because the following page is a copy of the actual building permit for the addition in 1985 to this home. At the February 5th hearing, Planning and Zoning staff confirmed that a certificate of occupancy was granted for the 1985 addition. If you return to tab 5, then there is a larger page so that it's easier for all of us to read the survey for this property. And when you look at that survey, you will see the exist in sort of bolder lines. You'll see what's called two-story dwelling, and you see the deck on the right-hand side of the picture as you hold it clockwise. The two-story dwelling and deck is what currently exists at the site. What's being proposed is the garage to the left-hand side of the two-story dwelling and the proposed living area behind that, as well as a porch on the front. I know at the February 5th hearing, Mr. Yoder shared the building and construction plans as they were located in the file as an exhibit to the applicants, presented on behalf of the applicant that night. As I mentioned at the outset of the application, you will see that the side yard setback adjacent to lot 32, the garage has now been brought into conformity and is 10.3 feet, which obviously complies with the 10-foot side yard setback. And so the only variances that are needed, if you're looking clockwise, would be at the top of the page. The existing dwelling is 18.2 feet from the rear property line, which has a little bit of a curve to it, which is why when you get to the other side of the of the proposed garage, it actually is less of a variance that would be needed. It's only 1.5 feet because the rear yard setback there would be 18.5 feet. As was explained at the February meeting, and I don't mean to belabor that point any too much further, but just for a refresher, the reason for, I think it was referred to as squaring up the rear of the house at that meeting is largely twofold. There are bedrooms intended for the first floor of this at the bottom, and if the variance is not granted, the applicant would, of course, have to demolish the existing structure that's there and push the rear side of the house or back of the house in the 1.8 feet, almost 2 feet. The bedrooms that are intended for that first floor are already a fairly nominal size. The exterior dimension is 10 feet. I know we have a builder here present, so on the inside, it's going to be closer to a 9 foot because these are poured concrete walls. And so obviously, if we had to move that in 2 feet, these bedrooms would only then have a very minimal width and probably unusable width of approximately 7 feet. In addition, based on the configuration of the house, on the floor that's on the same level as the proposed garage, the rooms that back up to the proposed garage area are bedrooms and a bathroom, which of course would mean that unless there is some connection to the house other than that, such as is proposed at the rear of the property in the proposed living area there right below where it's 76.0 feet. That is where they intend to have an internal connection between the house and the garage, so a person doesn't have to go to the exterior of the property to access a garage, which is going to be part of the house. Otherwise, of course, they would have to either demolish the entire structure to reconfigure it or reconfigure all of the living arrangements in the entire house to provide some means of internal access to that the garage structure that they're proposing be built there. As I mentioned, when I first began, there the two significant developments. We just looked at the survey and saw the elimination of the side yard setback. The last tab in the exhibit notebook is tab 7, and that is the letter of approval from the Angola by the Bay Property Owners Association. You will see that the Property Owners Association actually approved both variances, both the side yard setback and the rear yard setback, but the Weavers are withdrawing from this board's consideration the side yard setback. They are only seeking the rear yard setback. As the board is familiar and has had heard numerous times tonight, there are five factors that the board considers for the granting of a variance. The first of those factors is the uniqueness of the property. And in this circumstance, that's the arrangement or configuration of the existing structures on the property, which, as you've seen in the record tonight and in the exhibit notebook, were properly permitted. A certificate of occupancy was granted for what's there. And then when the present property owner seeks to configure a standard addition like a garage and some additional living space, it is saddled with doing that in conformity with the existing improvements. And those improvements make this a unique application as the other than demolishing the structure to start over, which of course would be a significant expense. The only way to configure this to have the small standard bedrooms that we spoke about and the internal connection with the garage is for a variance to be granted. The second factor is whether or not is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. And as I mentioned, without a teardown of at least the rear portion of the home and then for the internal connection, other portions of the home as well, which a variance is necessary. And these are certainly reasonable uses of the property. Nobody is seeking a significantly large bedrooms. They're already modestly sized. And the part of the application which arguably was not necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property, which was the additional 1 foot for the storage of the two boats, has been withdrawn from the application that's before the board this evening. The third factor is whether or not the need for the variance was created by the applicant. As you can see in looking at the property records, the Yo property card, as well as the building permit, the present structure and its encroachment were not constructed by the applicant. And in addition, you of course had the deed, which shows that they first acquired ownership of the property almost a year ago. The fourth factor is whether or not it will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. There are at least three reasons why it will not. First, of course, you saw the tax maps from the county showing that there's approximately 50 variance applications within that very same community since 2011, one being right next door. Second, you saw at tab 7 that the board of directors for the Property Owners Association has approved the exact same variance that's being sought tonight at the Property Owners Association, which has the same community-wide setbacks as the county has. And probably most significantly is the encroachment is going to remain just like where the existing encroachment is, which is in the rear of the house where nobody can see it. And when we looked at the tax map, you could see that the rear boundary of this property, it doesn't back up to another person's house. It backs up to a little more than 6 acres of woods, which creates a buffer between them and any other neighbors to the rear of the property. The fifth factor is whether or not it's the minimum variance that would afford relief. And it is the minimum variance. The 1.8-foot variance exists for the existing building, and that gets further reduced as you go and as the property line straightens out, and only a 1.5-foot is needed at the other end of the structure. These are the minimum necessary to, I'll use the term again, square up the rear of the house and bring and keep the building at the same setback as the existing encroachment. At this time, I'm going to ask Mr. Yoder if he would join me up here. Mr. Yoder, are you familiar with the Weaver's property?
I am.
And are you familiar with their plans to remodel and renovate their home at the property that was discussed tonight?
I am. I've put out for bid and I've actually presented that to them.
You heard the information presented to the board this evening. Was what was stated on their behalf true and accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
For all these reasons, the Weavers would ask the board to grant the requested rear yard variance.
Okay.
And certainly Mr. Yoder and I are available if any of the board members have questions for us.
All righty, I'll start then. Let's see, Mr. Workman, do you have any questions?
No, I think Mr. Hutt solved all of our concerns.
Same thing to me. I have no questions either.
No questions either?
No questions. Okay. Hearing no questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion that we approve case 12,092. The applicant demonstrates the uniqueness of the property and it cannot be otherwise developed, and was not created by the owner, are all caused by the location of the structure on the property, which was existing before the current owner purchased. It will not alter the character of the neighborhood. Obviously, there are other variants throughout the community. And the rear property variance is no greater than an existing structure. The new structure is parallel, or lines up with that existing structure, and the variance is necessary to provide adequate room space in the new living area. And therefore, it's a minimum variance request.
Okay. Do you have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mears and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 12,092. All those again in favor of the motion, Mr. Mears?
Aye for my reasons.
Again, Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons been stated. So by a vote of 3-0, case number 12,092 is approved. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, gentlemen, that is all the business for this evening. Is there anything from the office?
No, nothing from the office. I just wanted to note that Ms. McGee had mentioned possibility of discussing procedures at a future meeting. Is that something you'd wish to have on the next agenda?
I would suggest not. Just I won't be at the next meeting.
Because it may be at the next meeting.
That very well may be a topic worth discussing, rules of procedure in general, at our annual meeting in July where we talk about business matters.
Yep.
I know there's one typo that I've noticed in the rules of procedure that would probably be worth addressing. And that may give staff and the board a chance to look at it as well to see if there's any other comments or changes worth for proceeding with that.
Very well, we'll make sure to include that in the July annual meeting. I have nothing else this time.
Okay, anything else?
You'll just have somebody from the bullpen. Mr. Robertson will be here at the next meeting, so.
Okay.
Well, you'll be in capable hands.
Congratulations.
In case we don't see you ahead of time.
We shall see.
You got names for the twins already?
We're negotiating.
Oh. Okay.
Negotiations have begun.
Yeah. Okay.
That I know of.
Already.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Meeting is adjourned. Subject to call.